Thank you, Joseph, orchestra, worship team. What a great day to be worshiping with God's people together. John 14, verse 19 says, before long, Jesus is speaking, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Now, I'm going to do something this morning that I have never done before. Something I may never do again remains to be seen. In 34 years of serving as a pastor, this morning, I am going to base the sermon outline on a song. But I feel comfortable basing the sermon outline on a song because the song is based on Scripture. And so I suppose in a roundabout sort of way, you could say that the sermon outline is based on Scripture as well. And the song that I want to base the sermon outline on is a Bill and Gloria Gaither song titled, Because He Lives. Now, if you have listened to any Southern gospel music of any kind, you have probably heard the Gaithers, or you've heard of the Gaithers, or you have heard someone singing a Gaither song and just didn't know it. The Gaithers are very popular, have fans literally all around the world. And they first met when they were teaching together in the same high school. And they both had a love for music, and they started to collaborate on writing songs together. Gloria had been an English major in college, and so most often, not always, but most often, she would write the lyrics, the words. And Bill's gifting was in writing great melodies and wonderful harmonies. And over the decades, they have written over 600 songs. And the song this morning that we're focusing on, Because He Lives, is certainly one of their most popular ones. So we're going to go through it line by line, just the refrain, the chorus part. And I've attached some scriptures to that as well. The first line says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And there's an extra light show for Easter Sunday morning. Not intentional. And look at that. Tyler fixes it right away. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You know, there are a lot of people today who are having trouble facing tomorrow. There are a lot of people today who are having difficulty finding their way clear to keep moving on, to keep pressing forward. There are a lot of people today who are living their lives in hopelessness and despair. Because a lot of people are going after all the wrong things. We see this particularly illustrated for us in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, next to Jesus Christ, King Solomon of Israel is considered by many to be perhaps the wisest person who ever lived. And so as one of the wisest people who ever lived, King Solomon came to the conclusion that living our lives apart from God is meaningless. Meaningless. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Verse 12, I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. And as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, really what King Solomon did was through rigorous testing and careful observation, he came to these conclusions. Much like a scientist would take a theory and try to test the theory in a laboratory. King Solomon, he applied a scientific method to all that he could see on this planet. And he first came to the conclusion that pleasures are meaningless. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 10, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. What was the conclusion? Verse 11, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. He went on to apply that scientific method, careful observation, and discovered that wisdom and folly are meaningless. Work and toil, meaningless. Riches and wealth, meaningless. And he went on and on till his final conclusion in the final chapter of his book, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. As I said just a moment ago, lots of people are having trouble facing tomorrow because lots of people are going after all the wrong things. They have been duped, deceived into thinking that pursuing pleasure or making lots of money or climbing the corporate ladder of success will bring them happiness and fulfillment, but it will not. The truth of the matter is that only faith in Jesus Christ will get us anywhere in this life and in the life to come. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And verse 5 says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And that, my friends, gives us the confidence that we need to face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The next line of the Gaither song says, because he lives, all fear is gone. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Remarkable verses. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too, Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. John Huffman Jr. claims that the two biggest fears that people face are the fear of dying and the fear of living. Kind of encompasses everything, does it not? The fear of dying and the fear of living. But the good news this morning is that Jesus can take care of all of those fears. In fact, 365 times in the Bible, we come across two words, fear not. One for every day of the year, fear not. Fear not, God has got it covered. Fear not, God will take care of it. Fear not, God will work things out for our good and ultimately for his glory. Now the Gaithers, who wrote this song that I'm basing the sermon outline on, You need to know that the song, Because He Lives, was written shortly after a very anxious and fearful time in their lives. Listen carefully to Gloria Gaither's words as I was researching the background to this song. It was in the middle of the upheaval of the 60s that we were expecting our third baby. The drug culture was in full swing. Existential thought had obviously saturated every area of American thought. The cities were seething with racial tension, and the God is dead pronouncement had worked its way all through our educational system. On the personal front, Bill and I were going through one of the most difficult times in our lives. Bill had been discouraged and physically exhausted by a bout with mononucleosis. And in that weakened condition, had little reserve to fight the psychological battle brought on by some external family problems. Someone whom we had cared about a great deal had hurled some accusations at us and at the Fellowship of Believers and at the whole idea of the existence of God. It was a New Year's Eve. And again, this is Gloria. It was a New Year's Eve that I sat alone in the darkness and quiet of our living room, thinking about the world and our country and Bill's discouragement and the family problems and about our baby, yet unborn. Who in their right mind would bring a child into a world like this? I thought, the world is so evil. Influences beyond our control are so strong. What will happen to this child? I can't quite explain what happened at that moment, but suddenly I felt released from it all. The panic that had begun to build inside was gently dispelled by a reassuring presence that engulfed my life and drew my attention. Gradually, the fear left, and the joy began to return. I knew I could have that baby and face the future with optimism and trust. It was the resurrection affirming itself in our lives once again. It was life conquering death in the regularity of my day. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but when I think of the Gaithers, I think of super strong, super spiritual saints who've got it all together, who have been incredibly used by God to bless so many people, and He has. But the truth of the matter is, they are regular people, just like you and just like me. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you and just like me. And sometimes they have faced struggles. Sometimes they have endured opposition. There have been some times when they have been anxious and fearful. What has made the difference? Our resurrected Savior. Because He lives, all fear is gone. The next line of the song says, "And I know He holds the future." Psalm 139, verse 16 speaks to that. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now, some people, they think they're so smart. They've got things all figured out. They've come up with a master plan, and now all they have to do is work the plan, work the plan. James 4, verses 13 and 14. Now listen. "You who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow." What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what it may bring forth." You do not know. But God knows. God knows what is going to happen today. God knows what is going to happen tomorrow. And next week, and next month, and next year. Because God is the one who knows and holds the future. He is omniscient. A big fancy word that simply means he knows everything. Absolutely everything. Past, present, and future. And we may not know the future. But we know the one who holds the future. And that is enough. That is enough. And the final line of the refrain, "And life is worth the living just because he lives." Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, a couple of my favorite verses. "Because of the Lord's love, we are not consumed, for his compassions or his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Isn't that a wonderful truth? God's compassions, his mercies, they're not old. They're not stale. They're not out of date. They haven't expired or gone beyond their best before date. They are fresh. They are new each and every morning. There were so many scripture verses I could have attached to this PowerPoint slide. I attached to Lamentation 3, obviously, but Jeremiah 29, verse 11 came to mind. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And what does that future include? Well, among other things, Revelation 21. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And all of that, my friends, is made possible because he lives. It is through the death and resurrection of our Savior that death has been conquered. It is through the death and resurrection of our Lord that the devil has been defeated. It is through the death and resurrection of Christ that it is possible for us to have our sins forgiven, our fears taken away, our relationship with God restored, so that one day we can look forward to spending all of eternity with him, because Christ lives. And so with that in mind, we're going to sing the Gaither song with hopefully a renewed sense of appreciation. Going to invite those in the orchestra, worship team, choir who are participating in that song to come and take your places. And as we sing this great song together, let's pay special attention to each stanza. Verse 1 really gives us the gospel in a nutshell. It talks about God sending his son, Jesus, to love, heal, forgive. It talks about him dying on our place, pardoning us, offering us forgiveness. And if you are here this morning and you have never asked Jesus to pardon you, you have never asked Jesus to forgive you, even as we sing the song, you can do that in your heart and experience his wonderful cleansing. The second verse of the song talks about a newborn baby. Remember the context of the Gloria Gaither song? She was pregnant with their third child. It was a time of anxiety, a time of fearfulness. Fear was gripping her heart. But because of what Jesus did, she had confidence to face the future. And perhaps you are here this morning and fear is gripping your heart. Why not release it to Jesus, even as we sing about it? And the final stanza talks about that day that all of us may face unless Jesus returns, the day of our death. But as believers, as Christians, it is a day that we need not be afraid of. As Christians, it's simply a transition from this life to the next life. Death will give way to victory. We will see the lights of glory. We will see King Jesus in all of his radiance, all because he lives.